the blood of Jesus was poured out on our behalf. Because while God is the covenant keeper, man is the covenant breaker. God can't break the covenant. Because no matter how unfaithful man is, God is always faithful. He can't be anything else. But remember, Jesus walked in the place of man. The penalty of breaking the covenant was death, and that's why Jesus paid the debt on our behalf. His blood is what purchased our forgiveness. All glory to God. Jesus' body was also given for us. The crucifixion scars were testimony to Jesus paying the death penalty on our behalf. There were scars from the nails that went through his feet and his hands. There were scars from the scourging, the whipping, the lashings that he received. Those stripes across his back, they were inflicted using these whips, consisting of multiple lashes with barbed metal pieces on the ends of each lash. Each time the lashes came across his back, they would whip around his body and they would grip into his flesh and tear it to ribbons, removing chunks of flesh and exposing his internal organs. Those scars on Jesus' back were inflicted for our physical healing. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "Who himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." I'm going to read to you from the Life for Today verse by verse Bible commentary by Andrew Womack. He says this: "Some people have taken this statement by Jesus, 'This is my body,' to mean that the elements used in communion actually become the physical flesh and blood of Jesus. However, it is not scriptural to say that the elements actually change into Christ's flesh and blood. Jesus also said, 'I am the door of the sheep, and I am the true vine.' John 10 verse 7 and 9, and John 15 verse 1. But that didn't mean he was claiming to be a physical door or vine. He used expressions symbolically many times, and this is what he is doing in this instance. Both Luke and the Apostle Paul emphasize that the purpose of communion is to remember Jesus and his atoning work. Luke 22 verse 19 and 1 Corinthians 11 verse 25. There is no power or holiness in the elements themselves. The benefit that is derived from observing the Lord's Supper comes from our faith, as it is stirred up through remembering what Jesus did for us. Remember, always remember what Christ has done for you." Amen. Communion is often taught in a way that terrifies people and brings condemnation. This stops many good people from sharing in it. Bearing in mind that it is such a powerful memorial of the price that Jesus paid on our behalf, and remembering that it's such an integral reminder of the covenant that God made with us, surely this is something that we should do often. Let's have a look at what Paul wrote about communion in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23 to 31. Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Well, some teach that you must examine your heart to see if you have any wickedness inside it, because if you do, then you need to abstain from partaking of communion. But that is not what the word says. It says that the judgment came because they did not discern the Lord's body. When you read it in context, you find out that they were mistreating their poorer brothers and sisters in Christ. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are your fellow members of the Lord's body, that is, the body of Christ. We must judge our actions towards each other. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 to 22 says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk." What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. How we treat each other in the body of Christ is how we treat Jesus. As we look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, we see that people are not supposed to be sick in church, and certainly not supposed to die as a result of sickness. It was not a normal thing, which is why Paul took special note of the fact that it was happening in the Corinthian church. In the early church, they had such a divine revelation of what God had done on the cross. That's why healing was such a part of their everyday lives. For them to be sick and even die from that sickness was truly exceptional. And you know what? It is still not supposed to happen. Hebrews 13 verse 8 in the Amplified says, "Jesus Christ the Messiah is always the same, yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages." Amen. Jesus is one with his covenant friends. Matthew 25 verse 31 to 46 in the New King James Version says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Thank you so much for your time. Until next time, God bless you. Bye for now.